The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the K4 Wins. K4 Wins gives you all the plays, and 19-3 in our first weekend. Actually, it was our second weekend, or the last weekend. Whatever weekend it was, the fourth was weekend. Flying by, for sure. A 19-3 weekend. We're going to bring that up as often as we possibly can. Great, the NFL, too. It is by far the best college football weekend we've got going on so far. Of course, the SEC is the top of the page there. Very interesting stuff going on in baseball. It's getting down to a three-game series for the Cincinnati Reds and for the Houston Astros, who are no longer in the hunt. They are, but they're about a game out. So we got three games to go for them. And also, I wanted to mention an incredible baseball gesture that happened late last night. We'll get into that, plus the NFL. Case Kiefer below. He's the chief editor of course, the Las Vegas Sun. Kip Kiefer down there in the other corner. He is, of course, my good friend and the guy that does a lot of radio and television all over the place, including the television show ABC 3343. And he does that show every Saturday morning from 10:30, 11 o'clock. And the guy right above him is Kai Gregory. He was actually on our TV show, which we're going to be doing tomorrow morning from 10:30, 11 o'clock on our YouTube channel everywhere else. I'm Tony Curry. Good morning, gentlemen. What's going on?
Hey, Tony, let me throw a shout out to David Sears, your technical guy.
Yes.
A year after we have started the podcast, he finally figured out, because I always look far away and corner. Mm-hmm. He told me to push this one little button to keep me centered. And so I actually look like y'all now instead of a mile away, thanks to David Sears.
I might need that. I feel like I'm not centered today.
You're not centered. None of us are really centered in life, for sure. No, David's a good guy, man. He's the best. He's my right-hand man, for sure. Before we get into gambling, we got plays, of course, lots of college stuff to get into in pro action. I wanted to mention, did you see the Cal Raleigh thing last night? He goes yard for his 60th home run. And the fan who catches the baseball gives the baseball to a young man in the stands. And then, of course, security shows up to have that baseball authenticated, because Cali now is one of only seven players in Major League Baseball history to hit a 60th home run.
Yep.
And the catcher. Yeah, first catcher, no doubt. I mean, made Johnny Bench's 45 dingers back in 1975 look like nothing. So he gets the ball, gets it authenticated, and of course, he gives the ball back to the Seattle organization for a signed bat, and he gets to go watch batting practice or something. Sotheby's last night put the value of that baseball. Do you know what they put the value of that baseball at? $2 million.
Wow.
Well,
I mean, you know, his dad could have negotiated a little bit better deal. Gotten that ball, I'd say, you know, the signed bat's great, but how about season tickets behind the plate for next year?
I feel like I have a little bit of an edge knowing the industry a little bit and working in it, but there's no way I'm giving it for a signed bat. That's for sure.
That's a terrible deal.
Well, first of all, the dude,
a free hot dog at your next.
Yeah,
game,
really. You know? The dude who gave the ball away.
Let's give some respect to Johnny Bench on his 45 home runs. Totally different era, a totally different size. I mean, it's not like Johnny Bench had the steroids. He was doing alcohol and marijuana probably, versus the steroids that these guys are doing and all the creatine and all these things they've done growing. So the 45 that he hit in, you know, what was it, 60 whatever or seven, early 70s?
Actually, it was in the 70s. Yeah.
Or more.
Mm-hmm. He was, and you know what? He was big. But when he did, Johnny was a big guy. I mean, he was a big catcher. He wasn't quite the Mike Piazza size, but he was a big guy. Yeah. But just to reverse a little bit, the guy who gave the baseball away, though, I'm trying to think to myself, did he know what they're just saying that it was one of the nicest gestures that any baseball fans ever made for anybody.
Yeah.
He didn't know the kid. And you think he was just clueless? They couldn't find.
He could have just been a really nice rich guy.
It could have been. They couldn't find the guy, and so Seattle throws out something on Instagram looking for the
really
guy.
Nice,
they find
rich
the guy.
Guys don't usually sit out in the left field stands. My forensic investigation preliminarily, and this guy was clueless.
I'm so
heavy favorite clueless. There's other possibilities. I love betting as it makes you think probabilistically, but I'm putting it like 75 to 80% that the guy just didn't know. It didn't realize it.
Be pretty damn cool to own one of only seven baseballs. I mean, obviously there's other home run balls that were above 60, but only seven players to actually go over. It just doesn't happen very much.
Yeah. Cause remember guys, the magic number for decades in baseball was 61. Cause that's how many Roger Maris posted. And when McGuire and Sosa were chasing that, a dozen years ago, that was a huge deal if they were going to get to 61. And
37 years that lasted. I mean, that was a long time for a record to last in Major League Baseball. Yeah, now it just goes down.
They weren't chasing that record a dozen years ago. That was what, 98?
Yeah, okay. Case will tell you I do that all the time. 30
years ago.
Yeah, Case will tell you I do that all the time. It seems to me like that was, you know, 8-9 years ago.
No, you did, when you get older, you just double it. If it was that, it was 3 or 4 years ago. No, it was 8 or 9 years ago for sure. All right.
So all of my recent exploits that I thought were recent were probably like 40 years ago. Can I get a shameless plug in, Tony?
Hell yeah, you can.
Tomorrow morning on, if you're listening to us in the Birmingham area or no matter where you're listening to us, our morning show Game Time on Jocks 94.5, and you can listen, you can stream on any of your personal devices with just by saying play Jocks 94.5 FM. We are going to have a special guest on to preview the Alabama-Georgia game. We're really excited. Former Georgia Bulldogs star player from the first Mark Richt championship team in 2002. Current Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, and right now heavily favored in November to be elected Governor of Georgia this time, Burt Jones is going to be on with Terry and I tomorrow morning on Game Time to preview Georgia-Alabama. And legend, of course, is our Alabama expert. We're not going to really let them go toe-to-toe because we're trying to get Burt elected here. But on the other hand, we're excited to have you. Big-time guest on our show. He played with Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp in the late 90s, the early part of 2000. So we are excited to have Burt Jones, the Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, on Game Time tomorrow morning.
Ooh, sports and politics all at the same time. Good night. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, you need some religion in there, and then you got a great conversation.
That's right. You guys know any preachers aren't doing anything tomorrow
morning? You know what? I actually do have several preachers that would love to be on your show for you tomorrow. So yeah, if you want to reach out, I'll get Father Vu to join you. It's all about SEC football. Yes, there is a nice little twist there. The Big Ten, the big game, of course, everyone's talking about. Let's start with Alabama, Georgia. Find out where the lines are going. And I'm hearing a lot of people. Obviously, Georgia's got this 33-game winning streak going in there between the hedges. Case, where's the number land right now? What's the public thinking about Alabama, Georgia going on tomorrow right here on K4 Wins?
Mostly 3 across the board. I see 1, 2.5 now. Really kind of a classic pros versus Joes, sharps versus squares divide. I got like a liability report yesterday, and it was like 80%+ of the money on Georgia. All the big bets on Alabama. It kind of makes sense to me. I mean, data wise, and especially if you use priors like I do, I remember the first SEC conversation we had this summer. I said I thought I liked Alabama's personnel better than Georgia. I know it took a hit with what happened week one, but it's hard to, you know. There's weird things that happen in week one every week. So I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that it's kind of for me, it's a wait and see. I think 3 is probably the right number. I couldn't, tell someone to bet either side right now. I have a little bet on Alabama at 3.5. I do think that's kind of key right there. But yeah, Georgia, definitely a popular side. So popular. And I think this game's going to be so public that I wouldn't even be shocked if it. A big misconception in betting is what moves the line are the big, it's not the public, especially in college football, that's moving these lines. It's the big bets and sport, these global sports books trying to get to the right number. So it takes a rare occasion where the public's really moving the line that much. But I think this is one case where it could happen. If Georgia keeps taking the action we've seen them take all week, I wouldn't be surprised if this closes 3.5 or 4.
And I love, we try to have, I did radio and sports radio for 30 years. We got a guy who's a championship handicapper and a guy who does it for a living. We got Kip Kiefer, who's been doing radio forever and worked at race courses, and he knows everything about gambling. And then we have Kai, who's actually worked both sides of the street when it comes to handicapping and gambling. And you have obviously taken a lot of bets over your history from Alabama fans. Allegedly. We can talk about it now. It doesn't have to be for entertainment purposes only. You've taken a lot of bets from a lot of Alabama fans who lay down wood every single week, regardless of what the line is. They don't give a squat So, and then now you all of a sudden you got this big ball game coming up here against Georgia. How's it lying with you?
Everybody's on Alabama.
Yeah.
Even the
smarts.
I mean, we're in Alabama. I mean, Alabama fans bet on Alabama and against Auburn. Auburn fans bet on Auburn and against Alabama.
That's hilarious.
If any of them would actually use their brain. The problem is people bet with their hearts. Now, bookies love that. Casinos love that. You bet with your heart. You don't bet with your heart. Bet with your wallet if you want to make money. Just period. My take on the game, and I'm pulling for the refs. I don't want either team to win. So I mean, that, you know, that's a, I do think that it's probably going to go over. I played it over. It's one of the picks I gave out on the show. But that was at 52. I'm not sure. I think the line's up to 52.5 or 53 now. I think Keenan coming back for Alabama and Miller coming back are going to be some pretty large pieces of the puzzle for them. But I don't think either defense, and I could be wrong, it could be a 7-6 game, but I think it's going to be at least, you know, a 28-27. You know, I think the winner's going to have to crack 30.
Kip, I agree with you. And normally we'd say this in defense. You're talking about Alabama, Georgia, right? Defense, defense, defense. And obviously we saw what Tennessee did to Georgia. This is not the same Georgia defense that we've seen in the past, but Kip, what's your thoughts on this thing? And do you,
I reject that. I've been refuting that all week. I say, and I think I said it on our Tuesday show, any SEC team that would have gone into Neyland Stadium, for their first SEC game of the year on the road in that environment with Aguilar and the blitzkrieg they threw at Georgia early. I don't know if there was another SEC team right now that went into that situation that would come out of there with a W. I think people are really overemphasizing Georgia's shortcomings and not giving Tennessee credit for a really aggressive game plan that paid off. But there were some plays in that early sequence where Tennessee receivers just outfought the Georgia corners for the ball. It wasn't just this precision breakdown of the Georgia defense. But then for Georgia to kind of steady the ship and still win the game speaks volumes. So I know,
yeah, let's be honest, they were given the game. I mean, you had an 11-year-old kicker for Tennessee that missed a field goal.
Yeah, well, that's Tennessee should have won.
You told me we couldn't talk about that anymore.
You also had a horrendous pass interference
but,
call.
But I keep getting the tag. Million. Georgia played so poorly, and the defense is not good. I think you guys are going to be shocked how good this defense is going to play against Alabama, who I think is still a work in progress. Okay, Jam Miller's back, and it's a good thing. Alabama hasn't run the ball worth a damn against any of these, even the bad teams. Ty Simpson has been great against Louisiana Monroe and whatnot, but unless Jam Miller is 100%, and that's, you know, he's just coming back from a knee, he hadn't played. He better be good, because they've got to run the ball, because I think Georgia's secondary is really going to surprise you. I think they just got lit up by Tennessee early in that game and got shell shocked, but I don't think they're anywhere near as bad as everybody's labeled them now.
Well, we're probably going to find out, and we make a lot of this because we always say that no one's played anybody. We're finally playing some teams now, so we're going to find out what Alabama's all about.
Who says that?
We're going to find out what Georgia's all about. And listen, if Alabama wins this, it's back on for Alabama in the national championship. I mean, they're all on board. And obviously, if they don't, then we're going to start looking at the Auburn Tigers, going, okay, what are they?
Yeah, it's a must for them. They've got more pressure because they've got that bad loss. But you know, I know we talk about numbers a lot here. I don't think you can just shake off Georgia under Kirby Smart at Sanford Stadium is 50-4.
Yep.
50-4 is his record. They've won 33 games in a row. They haven't lost at Sanford Stadium since 2018. And all this talk about Alabama being Georgia's daddy and all that stuff, Alabama under Kirby in the Kirby Smart era has not played in Sanford Stadium in 10 years. This is the first time Georgia's had them on their home field. Yeah. And all this time, yes, Kirby's 1-6 against Alabama, but two of those games in Tuscaloosa and three of them in Mercedes-Benz Stadium over in Atlanta. That's not the same thing as Sanford Stadium in Athens.
We talk about the smart money too, and one of the smart games was Notre Dame and Arkansas, and that line's come down to 4.5, so the smelly fish getting smellier. The people I've talked to, Case, and obviously you're right there in the trenches, man, are loving Notre Dame in this game, Sam. Man, don't be fooled by this line. Notre Dame's a much better team than Arkansas. I know a lot of people are wanting to play Arkansas just because the line's kind of small. You put the computer modules in. What are you thinking about Notre Dame, Arkansas?
Yeah, it kind of surprises me. It seems like the different reports we have on all this game. I guess I wasn't really surprised to hear Kai's taking mostly Alabama action in Alabama, but it's a lot different out here. It seems like, you know, like I said, I get some books send out a press release with their numbers and everyone's on Georgia. Here, I thought I was going to kind of be a little bit alone on Arkansas. I bet some plus six. I thought no one would be on Arkansas. And I've actually, I think I've seen this game's about 50-50. It seems like there's a lot of money on both sides. I get why the line has moved in Arkansas's direction. If you're numbers based, more analytics based like me, there's just, even despite Notre Dame having played a lot tougher schedule. I mean, one thing that kind of bugs me about this whole, like, oh, they haven't played anybody, doesn't mean anything. All the best metrics now are adjusted for opponent, and there's an expectation of what you're supposed to do against every opponent. We can see how you performed compared to how you're supposed to. And just no matter how you look, Arkansas's been you know, just as impressive as Notre Dame. They probably didn't deserve to lose last week to Memphis. So I just think it was really hard to get a number this high. I think I talked about it Tuesday, but it did kind of conflict with me because I'm with you, like with some people you talked about. I guess that Notre Dame's way better. In my head, I think Notre Dame has a way better roster, so I thought I'd be on Notre Dame here, but it's just hard to get the number this high. Notre Dame's also a lot more beaten up than Arkansas, which is surprising because they've already had a bye week. I think they've played one fewer game, but I think they've got three defensive starters out, and I don't know that, including a cluster injury in the secondary, and that means a lot against Taylen Green and Bobby Petrino and the way this offense is clicking. So this is another one that, you know, not my highest confidence. I probably wouldn't bet it at the current number, but I bet a little bit of Arkansas plus six. And I feel like this will be a shootout that could go either way at the end of the game. Once again, the same type of games both these teams have played throughout this year.
Kai, going into a game and going into a Saturday like this as a gamble, we call these circle games. This is a game where I would look at and I would almost circle this game almost before they even play it, because I'd always feel like I'm going to win this game. This looks like an easy one. I look like I got this one. Do I, with Notre Dame giving up 4.5 to Arkansas?
I pulled I pulled a case, and early in the week when it was 4, I bought it down to 3 and took Notre Dame. If you look at this as a gambler, in my opinion, Joe Schmo that is going to bet this game, then they're going to be all over Notre Dame. If you have no earthly idea, the things that Case was just talking about in this game, because Notre Dame looks like the better defensive team, all these different things. But just like Tennessee going into Mississippi State, going to be missing 3 defensive starters, just like they have been for the entire season. It's a huge, huge loss for Notre Dame if their linebacker and their corner are out, which is two of their best players, in my opinion, as well as the defensive linemen they're out, because I was all over Notre Dame. I think they destroy Arkansas in the trenches, which is very strange for a team led by Sam Pittman for Arkansas, but I really think that. But with the injuries, I've thought about buying off or at least taking Arkansas plus some 5 just to see if I can get a middle and get a 27-23 score.
Do you put any effort into it, Kip, the fact that if Notre Dame loses this game, it's over? I mean, I think that's really funny because there's no way they're going to lose this game. You mentioned it at the top of the show, Kai. You went with Cincinnati in the game yesterday because they were 0-2. There's no way they're going to lose 3 games in a row because they're right there in the hunt. Does it really matter? You still got to play the game, right, Kip?
Yeah, and you know, you hope that the players would approach that with that perspective, that little touch of desperation. But this is a weird game for Notre Dame to be playing. They're traveling to Fayetteville, Arkansas, the Golden Domers in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I can't even really wrap my arms around that concept. And I mean, just getting to Fayetteville is a giant pain in the ass. It's like one lane highway in and out of there. It's comparable. At least there's a few expressways in the general area of Starkville. But the bottom line is, this is a strange environment, strange game. It's a wild atmosphere there. I mean, you can say what you want about people in Arkansas. They love this program, and they are wild, enthusiastic fans. And to have Notre Dame in their house is going to be just a circus on Saturday. And it's an early kick. There's a lot of weird things about this game. Plus, Arkansas, if we're talking about the mental attitude of a team, Arkansas's got to be pissed off coming in this game. They blew two games on the road. They should have won both of them. They just torched Ole Miss's defense. They couldn't stop them. Two late fumbles by Arkansas on crucial possessions at the end of the game sealed that one. Their defense was terrible against Ole Miss too, but as we've seen, our new hero Trinidad was a pain in the ass to stop in that game. And then the Memphis game, I don't know what happened. 28-10 right before the half. They give up a fluky touchdown right before halftime. And then the offense doesn't come back on the field for the second. Arkansas only managed 3 points in the second half after just going up and down the field in the first half. I was sweating the over, which looked like a lock at halftime. But the bottom line is, this is a weird game. And Arkansas, too, physically matches up with Notre Dame. I don't know if you guys notice, Arkansas's defensive front is massive. They're NFL size. These guys are giants. And they have a big offensive line. They've got skill players. This is going to be a hell of a game. I can't believe the matchup. I don't really know which way to go. I'm just going to sit back and watch and let you Titans fight over which way to bet it.
I drove up to Branson 2 years ago for a wedding, and then we had to drive back through Arkansas with my son, and my son's like, what are those on top of the roofs in Arkansas? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, things on the roofs on the houses in Arkansas. I guess that's all I could see, with these things on the roofs. I said, you talking about antennas? He said, yeah. And I said, yeah, they don't have cable here. I said, those are antennas. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you are my remote. I tell your ass to get up and spin it to Southeast to watch my game.
That's hilarious. We should need to show some deference talking about Arkansas. Case Kiefer was born in West Memphis, Arkansas.
There you have it. No, that would explain.
I haven't seen an antenna on a house in 25 years, though.
So they're all over Arkansas. Tennessee, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and LSU all have one loss between the four of them in the SEC going into week five, which is amazing. Let's talk about the 4-0s, LSU and Ole Miss. It opened at 3, went to 2.5. Right now, the last I see is Ole Miss 1.5. Case, what you got?
I had nothing earlier this week. I still have nothing. I guess I'm taking the Kip tack that he talked about from the Notre Dame game. Just sit back and watch and see what happens. I don't really know what to make of this year. I did say I'd feel a little bit better with Ole Miss if they stuck with Chambliss, and it certainly sounds like that's what they're doing. I know there's been sources saying he's going to be the starter. I mean, it could backfire. We'll see. But I've been so impressed with him. I know carrying up Arkansas's defense, you can definitely poke holes in that, but I got to say, I really thought Tulane's defense was – I was more worried about Tulane's offense, and he just shredded Tulane defensively.
They really did.
Last week. So I'm just way higher on Chambliss than Austin Simmons after watching him a little bit the first 2 weeks. I just feel like he's not quite seasoned yet. I think he's good for a couple turnovers a game, and maybe Chambliss is too. I mean, obviously, this is a whole nother level of defense, so we're going to get some answers here. But I said it'd be a lean towards Ole Miss for me if he's starting, and it does seem like he's starting. I like the direction Ole Miss is heading in, that they've looked pretty good, and maybe now they have the right guy at quarterback. So really slight lean to Ole Miss, but I haven't bet it, and I probably don't think I will.
Kiefer, Chambliss, is it more the system or the player? I mean, when you play at Washington State under Mike Leach 10 years ago, you're gonna end up being a Heisman Trophy winner, possibly. Is it Lane Kiffin's system that's getting Chambliss the numbers, or is he really that good of a quarterback?
I think the kid's pretty good. He looks legit to me. Now, Lane Kiffin's system, I mean, this weekend to me, this is brain versus brawn almost. LSU is going to be the physical team, and Ole Miss is going to be the crazy team that listens to Kiffin's stupid analytics. And probably Kiffin, you know, you've got two coaches. Who's going to cost their team the game? Kelly just being Kelly, or Kiffin going for 6 fourth downs and giving up, you know, 18 points he could have kicked on field goals and missing those points? I really think I like LSU in this game. I took them +2. I wanted to buy it to 3 just because of that number, even though I really hate buying points. I'm sitting here talking about doing it a lot. But I think LSU goes on the road and gets it done. I am not impressed at all with Ole Miss's defense. And these are the games, in my opinion, that Lane Kiffin finds a way to do something stupid on fourth down and lose it for Ole Miss.
And Kip, for people that obviously aren't Brian Kelly fans, and we don't have a lot of them anywhere, including the Notre Dame area, which I used to be from, are now wondering, okay, does Brian finally got it going on here at 4-0 going into a game where if he wins this ball game, he's for real?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Florida win's got to be taken with a grain of salt, because I didn't think LSU played great in that game. That game was still 13-10 in the fourth quarter. I think Billy Napier completely pushed I still don't even understand putting the ball up 49 times and giving a pick six to LSU to clinch the game. Five interceptions from Lagway. He played like they were three touchdowns behind. They were 3 points behind. So that game I didn't really give LSU a big stamp of approval there. I thought the Florida coaching staff could have grinded out that game better and maybe came out with a win. And, you know, other than that, the Clemson win was impressive, but, you know, now we got to look at that with the analytical eye that Clemson's 1-3 right now. So I think going on the road to Oxford, another hard place to get to, another weird road game. You know, I think this one's a toss up, but I gotta lean a little in the Ole Miss direction just because they're playing at home. And this is a big game. And I tell you, I would have said differently last week if we were in this exact same time, because I thought Ole Miss played abysmally against Arkansas and still won that game. But man, I was impressed how they just derailed and demolished Tulane, who was supposed to be one of the better of, you know, power four teams now. But gosh, they just blew them out. So maybe Ole Miss is better than I gave him credit for. Maybe Legend's favorite coach Pete Golding fixed the defense in 1 week. So we'll find out, but I don't know. Brian Kelly seems like he always finds a way to lose on the big stage. This isn't the biggest stage, but it's a big stepping stone for LSU going into a bye week. If they can steal a win in this game, they're going to be in really good shape.
What's that game?
Last thing I just wanted to add on this game. I don't know why. There's been a lot of talk this week that Nussmeier still may be hurt worse than they're letting on. I don't know. That's something else to watch, and another just small feather in if you're making the case for Ole Miss.
He's been banged up all year long, and no one's talking about it. It's the most amazing thing, and that's one of those things where you find out at the end of the season. What game, Kip, I want to stay with you. What game is more important for this particular game coming up, A&M or Auburn?
I think it's for Auburn. A&M is in a good spot right now. But, you know, this our mentality's got to change a little bit, because now we've been programmed for all of our college football lives that a loss is catastrophic. And yeah, losses are tough to deal with. But now we're in an era where, you know, the playing field's leveled off enough where we're just not going to see teams make runs all, you know, at my least favorite cliche, run the table. If you lose one or two games and you're a Texas A&M and you've got the win over Notre Dame in your pocket, I mean, you're probably going to be a strong contender to be a playoff team. But Auburn, if they lose another game here with back-to-backs and the schedule they're facing with Georgia coming up next and some of their other challenges later on, Alabama on the schedule and others, this is a game where Auburn is going to put themselves in a really tough spot if they can't win. The back-to-back on this road trip, which you knew was going to be tough, I said they really needed to get a split to stay in good position because the fan base was believing. And then last week, now the fan base has the excuse, well, we were robbed at Oklahoma. But if they don't perform well at Texas A&M, I think there's going to be just a lot of air in the Auburn balloon's going to go right out.
Our baseball coming up. We'll do some NFL. We'll talk some Ryder Cup. We're getting a lot to jam in here, and our best bets coming up here. But we have to talk about the Tennessee-Mississippi State game. Only that Mississippi State is sitting there undefeated this late into the season. I say late into the season. It really is. And there's Tennessee. That line's been stuck at 7.5. What do you think, Kai? It's your team.
We talked about it Tuesday. I just don't trust Tennessee's defense to travel in this situation. I can see Mississippi State winning the way they played Arizona State, which again, I mean, that's something we need to talk about. The TCU Arizona State game tonight, Florida State Virginia tonight. I mean, those are two huge games this weekend that just happened to be on Friday night. But to your original question, I mean, I'm interested to see how Joey does on his first road game in the SEC. It's a 3:15 kickoff here, Central Standard Time. So that's going to be interesting. I'm kind of leaning, I've already played the over I just don't think Tennessee's defense, you know, minus their two top corners again, maybe Moy plays on the defensive line. I'm not sure. David Sanders is probably making his first start for Tennessee, but at left tackle on the road as a freshman. I'm not sure about that. Joey's going to throw eight, you know, balls up that are going to be 50-50 balls. Mississippi State corners are a little bit smaller than Georgia's corners as well. And that's one of the things that I actually give Georgia in that game is Alabama does not have the height at receiver that Tennessee has. So the 50-50 balls, if Ty Simpson throws them up, are not going to be as well. But also Tennessee doesn't have Ryan Williams. So anyway, I would not trust Tennessee's defense. I mean, anything over a touchdown, I couldn't do it. I would have to take the points. I'm going to bet that game.
We love the Big Ten around here. Kip Kiefer, we always go to our Big Ten extraordinaire man. He loves the Big
My
Ten.
Favorite.
He follows it from top to bottom. We've got to mention, obviously, Oregon and Penn State. It is a great ball game this weekend. It's going to be fantastic. Penn State giving up 3.5. Let's get to that game, and then we'll get to our best bets. Kip, what do you think?
Well, you know, I mentioned it on Tuesday. I'm a little concerned with the West Coast Big Ten team traveling. I want to see how that formula plays out. I know the teams coming west to east last year didn't fare as well. This game is at night, which being a Big Ten game, that's supposed to be the big noon kickoff, but this is not a Fox game. It's actually on NBC, which makes no sense whatsoever. I guess Fox sold off part of their treasure trove, NBC televising the game. So it is in prime time against the Alabama Georgia game. So it'll be interesting to see what the ratings split is on that. But, you know, my feeling is that Penn State playing at home and Oregon not responding very well, even when they played them head to head last year in the Big Ten championship game, Oregon's kind of all flash and they got to deliver one of these kind of big showdown games to really stamp themselves as a legitimate contender. Penn State, I won't mention the schedule. Let's just move right on to Saturday night. So I don't know what to expect. I'm still not really an Aller guy, and a lot of people disagree with me there, but we'll see how he plays. The Penn State running backs, if you don't like them, then you're not a rational person, because they're both awesome. So I think that's the difference. The Penn State running game, the Penn State physicality. I think they beat the Ducks on Saturday night.
Case is over there wringing his hands. You know, this is going to be a great weekend too. I think this is the weekend too. We saw a little bit of it last year where the quarterbacks, we finally start seeing what these quarterbacks are made of. And I think we're going to see that with Allar and Dante Moore, another guy who a lot of people are just kind of sitting back and waiting. We know how explosive the Oregon Duck offense has been the last 10 or 15 years. Is he the real deal? What do you think, Case?
The thing I react to, I read something interesting this week. It wouldn't have ended up making a difference this week, but you know, these schedules are made so many years out. And Penn State was actually supposed to play Virginia Tech this year, and Virginia Tech canceled the game. I guess they thought they couldn't. Brent Pry, trying to save his job, didn't want South Carolina and Penn State. They rescheduled it with.
Yeah, how did that work out? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they rescheduled it with Old Dominion. They rescheduled it with the FCS team that they did beat by like 30. But yeah, so I don't know. These schedule things, there's always, it's always interesting. I mean, I talked about it on Tuesday. I did bet a little Oregon. I just couldn't quite get to the number. I kind of hope I'm wrong. I have so much Penn State futures. I hope Kip's right and Penn State can push them around. It's just a question of what do you think Penn State's shown their full capabilities yet? Because if they've shown anywhere close to their full capabilities, they've been a huge letdown. They have not looked good. I've heard a lot. This is one of my pet peeves. I know you guys are sometimes culprits. I'm going to just bring it up before someone does. I've heard a lot of people say this week, well, I can't pick Penn State because of James Franklin, which is just the dumbest analysis I've ever heard. It should actually be the opposite. James Franklin has been incredible as a favorite. He wins these games he's supposed to. They're a favorite here. If you bet on James Franklin every game, he's a favorite. You're rich right now. So the James Franklin thing has literally means nothing to me. The one thing that does concern me, Kip brought it up, Drew Aller, I really thought was going to take a leap this year. I think it is fair to say he's played poorly when he's gone up in competition. He's absolutely trashed these poorer opponents. I thought he had great numbers last year. And even last year, this offensive system they're running with Colton Nicky's pretty pretty intense. And Koltnicki even said, you know, before the playoff, like we've barely scratched the surface. We've kept things vanilla. I remember he made a metaphor to a Dairy Queen blizzard that kind of went viral. So I really thought the blizzard was going to be fully mixed this year. I thought with a full year that Aller was going to take another step. And in these first 3 weeks, I just have not seen it. His numbers have been pretty alarming. So I have no worries about James Franklin. I think he's good enough to get the job done, especially in a game where he has the better team. He's done it time and time again. I am a little bit worried about Drew Aller, though, which I was a big Aller defender coming into the year. And I haven't seen the step up yet. Maybe they're saving it. Maybe they have something better to show here. But I think another concern is just how good Tyler Warren's looked in the NFL. I mean, he looks like Brock Bowers light, and he was their go-to guy last year. So there's more concerns on the Penn State side to me, but we'll see if being at home and the whiteout, all that helps it. But I still at the number would have to lean Oregon, but somewhat hope I'm wrong.
Penn State is 0-3 against the spread this year. They are 1-4 their last five and 2-5 the last seven they've been favored in. So you talk about Franklin being favored in games and getting covers. He hasn't done it quite yet.
I'll take a 15-year sample size over three games against Florida International.
Exactly.
He was really good in that
The lines for the first three games were 78, 67, and 55. So I think it's kind of difficult to cover 78 points. I get that.
Just for the record, I can't bet on James Franklin. I just wanted to throw that out there. I just can't bet on James Franklin. And I cannot bet on Pedophile State University either.
There you go. And I know, man, the year before all that crap went down, I was at a celebrity auction for Todd Jones. He was the fireman of the year for the Detroit Tigers. Super nice guy. He's got a place out in Pell City.
Alabama guy, right? And
I got a Joe Paterno signed helmet. That is just one of my prized things I got. And I put it down there, and then all of a sudden all that crap went down, and now it's sitting in a box somewhere downstairs and it's not worth shit. So it's like, all right. You can certainly mention something about the Big Ten twist that we just mentioned to Kai, but then go ahead and get into your games here. Your best bets for the weekend.
I don't have any best bets this weekend yet. I mean, I honestly, I was waiting.
This is a gambling show, you know. It's called K4 Wins, and we do have we do gamble and we pick games on this thing, and they do start tomorrow morning.
You know, I'm crazy. I'm still all over this Florida State team after week one, and you got the number one offense versus the number five offense tonight with Florida State and Virginia. The total's gone from 58.5, I think it opened, down to 60.5. I really like what FSU's doing with Gus. I think they go to Virginia tonight. I think they win. I think they win by at least two scores, and I don't mean two field goals. So I think they cover. And the TCU-Arizona State game to me is very interesting. You know, I'll be watching my daughter cheer Hoover goes to Parker tonight, but I hopefully get home in a good time to see the TCU-Arizona State game. I'm really looking forward to the 11 o'clock game, the USC-Illinois game. South Carolina coming across the country playing at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm one of the few people that thinks USC is going to drill them. I love Mayave, however the hell you say his name, their quarterback. I think they're going to come over here and play really well. And then I could talk about 20 games. I wish we had a 3-hour show because we could all talk about all these different games and the plays we love. But, nobody's talking about it. And I've already seen a lot of people on Vandy. Utah State does not suck, and 22.5 points might be a little bit too much for them to give up, but that game's going to fly over the total because Pavier may put up 50.
So a lot of people are loving that USC game over the total too. I think, what is that? I know you mentioned,
because their defense is terrible as always. Riley said, they give up 31 at home against Michigan State last week.
Of course, Illinois put up 10 against Indiana too. So you want to think that
the Indiana Iowa game's not going to be as good a game as everybody thinks. Indiana is going to go into Iowa and blow them out.
Kip, give me some winners, brother.
Kai just stole my thunder on one of them. I looked at the Utah State at Texas A&M game earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, A&M didn't play very well, but kind of a interesting coincidence here. The margin of victory in that game was 22 points for Texas A&M at College Station. Guess what the line is on this game? 22.5. Is Vanderbilt better than Texas A&M at this stage? I mean, I know that's kind of an L elementary way to look at this, but I think it favors Utah State being a play here. Because can Vanderbilt really be this good? You know, they mauled.
They were last year.
They weren't beating people 63-20 and stuff.
But they got a couple of huge wins last year that Vanderbilt just doesn't
they
get.
They did, but we're talking about, you, like you said, this is a gamblers here. We're talking about the spread. I don't know if Vanderbilt has really reached the point where they should be 3 touchdown favorites against respectable teams. Utah State, nothing to write home about, but I just get the feeling that a little bit of a letdown for Vanderbilt's got to be somewhere on the horizon here. And I just can't, I have to take 22.5 with Utah State. Another game, you know, I know that we talked a lot about Duke on the show, and there's been people that have had varying opinions. Duke really looked like they put it together last week, but Syracuse just went into Clemson and beat them by 17 points or whatever. I don't understand how Syracuse is such a huge underdog at home against Duke. Has Duke really earned that kind of respect? I think the Orangemen in the Carrier Dome are always a handful. Just asked Miami last year, knocking them out of the playoffs. This might be stupid and I might get refuted here, but I really like Syracuse at home.
Clemson hangover a little bit.
Their quarterback tore his Achilles. I like Syracuse too, for the record, but that's the reason why the line's depressed is and Jelly tore his Achilles. They have to.
I knew he was hurt, but I didn't know it was that serious.
Yeah, but he did that kind of early in that game. It's not like he did it late in the fourth quarter.
Was it the third? I could be wrong. I thought it was second half though, but
yeah, it was like early. It was early third quarter, and they didn't look great after that. I don't remember the backup's name, but he didn't come in and give the game away the way a lot of second string quarterbacks could.
Yeah, I like Syracuse too, so I'm with Kip. I didn't bet it very big just because I feel like a backup quarterback, it's kind of an unknown. Whereas Angeli looked pretty good this year.
Yeah, he had. Anyway, real quick, my other ones. You know, we talked about Georgia, Alabama. I think people glorify Alabama for what they were and not necessarily what they are now. And I was at the Georgia-Alabama game last year. I saw Georgia come back from a 25-point halftime deficit to have the lead and have 2 chances to win it at the end. I just think at Sanford Stadium, Georgia's record speaks for itself. And Kirby Smart, I guarantee you, is sick and tired of hearing all the crap about how Alabama owns him. Nick Saban kind of owned him. I don't think Kirby Smart is intimidated by Kalen DeBoer. I think Georgia wins this game and proves a lot of people wrong who were Georgia doubters off the Tennessee game, which I think is a huge win for Georgia. Going into Knoxville and beating Tennessee would be a huge win for anybody in the SEC, and I'm not sure any other team right now in the league could have gotten that done. So did they play well? No, they got blitzed early, but I really, really like Georgia to beat Alabama. And my other SEC game, and I'll pass the torch here. I think South Carolina is a desperate team. Tony, I know you kind of have some inclination that Kentucky might play well. You guys know what I think of Mark Stoops and Kentucky. I think now with the ascension of Mississippi State and Vanderbilt, Kentucky is clearly the bottom feeder in the SEC. I don't see anything to like about this team. They go on the road to South Carolina, who's going to be a desperate team in this game. I think the Gamecocks win handily over the beleaguered Wildcats.
Well, I'll start right there because I am jumping off like the Titanic on South Carolina. Lenore Sellers has been sacked 13 times the last 4 games. There's something going on with that offensive line. They were supposed to be a lot better. They brought back 4 of their 5 guys. And of course, he was the only quarterback that everyone knew about. And he was supposed to be this guy that was going to start adapting some running plays into it. He's going to be a slasher and stuff. I ain't seen it for South Carolina. They looked horrible. And I think this could be a big game for Kentucky. Kentucky just to bounce back, particularly on the road. They're catching 5.5. I would have thought maybe this line would be 2 or 3. I'm going to take the Wildcats. If I can get it up to 6 or 6.5, I like it even more. So I'll take Kentucky plus the 5.5. Tulane, Tulsa, really interesting ball game. Everyone's just jumping all over Tulane. Dominic Richardson for Tulsa is just a hell of a running back. He's averaging 6.3 yards per carry. Tulane is giving up a lot of rushing yards. As a matter of fact, they rank in the bottom 10 in college football in rushing yards. I think Tulsa can keep this close, and I think anything over 14 is too much. I'm going to take Tulsa plus 15.5, and I'll also hop on those Oregon. I'll take those Oregon Ducks plus the 3.5. They're averaging 50.2 points per ball game. They're only giving up 9, and obviously they played a lot. But I want to see You've been talking about Penn State all year, and I think when you get 5 weeks into the season and you haven't played anybody yet, as a fan, you hold your breath because you're like, oh my gosh, okay, if they haven't been showing anything the first 3 weeks against Eastern Michigan State, Tennessee, blah, 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 you better hope like Penn State comes out gangbusters, looks fantastic. And I think Oregon's already kind of proven themselves. They played a couple guys. I'm going to take the Oregon Ducks plus the 3.5. Case, you're the man. You're like...
hold on. My bad. Naturally, all right. A lot of the games you gave out so far, I'm opposite naturally. I feel like it's been a few weeks since I've been just like everything you guys talked about. I like the other side. I wouldn't lay it. I wouldn't take it below 7, but I like Virginia tonight. If you're betting tonight's game, I really think Virginia has a lot of firepower. They really spent a lot on their defense. I don't know what to make of Florida State yet, despite their great week one performance. We'll see. I mean, I bet a better number there, but, I like Virginia and just naturally I like TCU. I've been really high on the Horned Frogs all year and a little bit lower on the Sun Devils. That one has moved against me. I took TCU plus 115 on the money line earlier in the week. I think you can get better than that now. I'm really high on TCU. I think they're the only team that can really challenge Texas Tech. We'll see. One of my bigger bets of the week, I laid it with Vanderbilt minus 22. I really do think this team has taken a leap. I think they're way better than last year. If you just look at their per play metrics and efficiency wise, I think they got lucky. So, I mean, you know, lucky's a loaded word because I think they're really well coached. And I think Pavi has kind of got some of that like intangible toughness inspiring guys, but I think they probably didn't deserve to win all those games they won last year. This year, they just look like a wrecking ball. I think the Mountain West, I think, is terrible this year. I don't like any of these teams. I know Utah State did put a respectable effort at Texas A&M, but it's a little bit different now in the middle of conference play, flying across the country. I never would have on my bingo card I'd be laying more than 3 touchdowns with Vanderbilt against Bronco Mendenhall, who I think is one of the best coaches pound for pound in the country. I think he's going to get Utah State right. But I don't know. I just numbers wise, I get closer to 4 touchdowns. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, Vanderbilt's going to take it easy. They've got Alabama next week. They're not going to want to expend a bunch of energy. I don't know. Just from watching them and watching Pavia the last 4 years and Jerry Kill, who's now at Vanderbilt with them, it just seems like they never take it easy. It's Vanderbilt. I feel like
they are impressive.
So, as you probably heard, I mean, I've taken so many underdogs this week. It's scaring me. I'm on like 80% underdogs, especially in the SEC. I think I like every underdog, but that is one favorite I like. I also like the biggest favorite in the SEC for the record. I laid 44 with Missouri. It sounds like UMass is down to like their walk-on cornerbacks. And UMass is probably the worst team. UMass and Kent State are neck and neck for worst team in the nation. I know Kip hates Missouri, but I didn't like Missouri coming into the year. I bet under. I wish I could have that back because I just
6 straight home games. That's ridiculous.
I think Missouri takes glee in blowing out these teams. And look, we heard during training camp that Pribula was struggling, but Pribula got probably the second most money of any transfer quarterback in the market this year. Everyone wanted the kid. And I think we've seen flashes of why. I think they'll take glee in just destroying Missouri. If I had to make a best bet in the SEC, another one opposite, I think someone said they like Tennessee. I really like Mississippi State. If you've watched this show, you've heard, I've literally bet them every week this year. Not only are they undefeated straight up, they're undefeated against the spread. I just feel like people are, perception is colored way too much of last year when they were in the ultimate teardown. Year zero, they were awful last year, but man, they did a lot of good work in the transfer portal this offseason with Fluff Bothwell coming in the headliner. I think Shapen has been really, really good when he's healthy. It's tough to play in Starkville. I can't get this over a touchdown. I think Tennessee's the likeliest winner, but I bet 9.5, it's still 7.5. I think 7.5 is fine with me too. So if there was a best bet I had to make in the SECs, I know we're usually SEC centric, I would be on Vanderbilt or Mississippi State.
K4wins.com, hey, K4wins.
Real quick, yeah. Something to notice while in the last 15 minutes, I don't know why, the Alabama team total has gone from 24 to 24.5 since we've been on the show, just the last 15 minutes. You know, one of the reasons why I don't have a lot of best bets is, you know, I do a lot of team totals, but that really makes me think on that game where that went with the Alabama money, because the team total half a point, because it was 23.5 2 days ago. Now it's 24.5 for Alabama's team total.
K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com to get all of our plays. Don't have a ton of time for NFL, but I do want to go back to Case because, of course, he's the field man. And, of course, inside the locker room for your Las Vegas Raiders, they are catching, about 1.5? Or no, are they actually favored by 1.5 against the Bears this weekend? I'm sorry, that line jumped around a little bit. Talk about the Bears and Raiders, and then we'll get some early plays here from you guys for the NFL on Sunday. Go.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Raiders are another team I feel like I've bet every week. I think they're still a little undervalued, although they've been awful the last 2 weeks. Their offensive line is totally in disarray. There's some weird stuff going on. I still think they should probably beat the Bears. People are like, you know, the bright, shiny object are just praising the offense this week because Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and co. looked so good. But it was against the Cowboys defense, who is absolutely dreadful. And if there's a defense worse than the Cowboys in the NFL, it's probably the Bears. I mean, really, all they had going for them was Jalen Johnson, their all-pro cornerback. He's on injured reserve now. I really feel like the Raiders will put up points here. You know, it's not a slam dunk or anything, not one of my bigger bets, but I would have to lean the Raiders there one more week. We'll see if they can get it together. This Bears defense is problematic.
Yeah. Kip? Kai, anything else in the National Football League you want to get into? Obviously, there's a lot going on between now and Sunday. And, of course, you can go to K4Wins.com and get all of our plays. Kip, you got anything that's picking out to you? Of course, the big game everyone's talking about, the Ravens and Chiefs. What else?
Well, the schizophrenic Falcons, who I liked at Minnesota on Monday Night Football, and then they didn't show up in Charlotte last week. I had said the Panthers are going to be better. I didn't expect that was going to be the day they unleashed that prediction. The Falcons were abysmal last week in that game. Now they're going back home and playing a wounded Commanders team. There's been back and forth whether Daniels is going to play or not. I think the Commanders deserve some respect, but a 3.5 point, and if it is still 3.5, and that half, it's down to 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5.
Okay, so all this line movement kills me because you guys are tuned into all this stuff, and I don't have access to it. But on the other hand, if it's 1.5, then I'm not as high on it. But
I love the Falcons this week. Who do the Commanders have? Everybody's hurt. I don't think Jaden Daniels is playing, and this could age poorly. Yeah, they got hurt guys on the defense. McLaurin's hurt. I mean, the Carolina game, they had the pick sixes. It was weird. I love Atlanta this week.
Yeah, I really think the Falcons, just on just general principles, playing at home, should not be an underdog in this game because the Commanders are not 100%. And I've been against the Rams all year. Well, this time I'm jumping on the Rams because I don't believe in the Indiana Jones syndrome. I think they've been fattening up on really bad teams. And I think the Rams have played pretty credibly in every game that they've showed up. So now after being anti Rams for 3 weeks, give me the LA Rams against the Colts. I think Indiana Jones gets taken down by the adversary this week, the Boulder.
They're giving up 3.5, and the Colts are 3-0 on the early season, which is kind of hard to believe. Kai's up there shaking his head. Give me some NFL, and then we're going to jump into some baseball. What do you got, brother?
Give me some Indiana Jones +3.5.
Yeah, you like
Come
that?
Come on now. No, we can't do that. I like the Falcons also. I think one of the biggest sucker plays that I'm on, for the record, is the over in Green Bay and Dallas as well, especially if it's under 49, which I think I got it at 46.5 or 47 early in the week. You know, we were 2-0 in the NFL last night, Seattle and under, so not too shabby. 19-3 this past Saturday. We're 807, 429, and 15 year to date. I love Indy. I am all over this Indianapolis team. I am all over Indiana Jones. I love the rushing attack they have, all over it. And unfortunately, if I had to lay one other game that I would, and people think I'm crazy because of the way they play, I'm still a D'Amico Ryans fan. I'm still anti my beloved Titans coach, even though Cam Ward, I would take Houston in -7.
Kip, before
Terrible hire. Terrible hire. Case called that before the season. Man, what a shambles. And they just basically gave away one of their better players this week to in a trade to the Jets, which makes no sense.
Kip, it's not a free-for-all. It's not a fire sale. They're not giving up on the season. keep that in mind. That's what the GM said. And since he said it has to be true. Oh,
and gosh, they got like a fifth round pick. So, I mean, I don't understand it.
Before we get into Major League Baseball for the last few minutes, Kip, tell everybody about where the starting lineup is going to be a little bit later on this week. We're going to be out there again on Tuesday night. We had a wonderful night out at the Birmingham Racecourse this past week. Thanks to Kai for coming out. I couldn't make it. But one of these weeks, we'll have to get Case to come flying across country and come out for one of our Tuesday nighters. But another big night coming up this week.
Yep, Social Taco is the location this week. We get the whole loft of that that place in the Soho district, right down in Homewood. We had a party there a couple weeks ago, had about 80 people come. Going to try to get into the three figures this week at Social Taco Tuesday night, about 5:30 to 7:30 happy hour. They've got great food, great service. Come join us. You can rub elbows with the Birmingham icon, Tony Curry, and everybody's favorite legendary character who always draws a crowd and never disappoints. The one, the only legend will also be there entertaining the troops.
Kai, it is such.
Hey, Tony, before you go, I really want to know Case's thoughts, because we've already talked about it. We're going to go out to Vegas and go to a Vegas Knights game. But what a great overtime win last night for Vegas over the Utah Mammoth.
The Mammoth. Good grief.
Mammoth.
That's news to me. Actually, I just haven't been paying attention to the preseason at all. I know that the Golden Knights hadn't scored in like 130 some straight minutes dating back to the playoffs last year through the first two preseason games. So glad to know they scored last week. Pretty bad when I cover the team and you're breaking that news to me, but I just don't pay attention to the NHL preseason.
And NHL just a couple weeks away, man. So we're getting to that magic day where everything's
going to play. I'm going to be in Vegas and we'll be at the opener on October 8th. The LA Kings against the Golden Knights. Can't wait.
It's going to be fantastic.
I had Vegas last night minus a half a goal. So I was really happy.
You're better. Preseason hockey.
No wonder you knew about the Mammoth. What the hell's wrong with you?
What have we done to Kai Gregory?
Good God Almighty. All right. Well, you got some Major League Baseball to bet on because it's gotten down to a three-game series. I can't believe we play 162 games and it comes down to three games. And as a Cincinnati Reds fan, now I'm going back to all those 1-0 games they lost earlier in the season. They're going to come back and bite them in the ass. Right now, they're one game out. The Mets actually got a victory last night. The Reds did too. They're stuck close. And then in the American League, the Houston Astros, all of a sudden, Seattle's gotten hot. They're 9 of their last 10, but the Astros are falling apart. They're a game out now. Of course, they were in the playoffs all the way up until last week. What's your thoughts on Major League Baseball? What's going to happen in the last 3 days?
Well, I you know, for me, because I have over 87.5 for my Red Sox, and they're sitting on 87 wins, so they got to win one of the three against at home, their next three versus Detroit. The Yankees in Tampa Bay, the Yankees in Toronto tied at the top of that division. Toronto has Tampa Bay at home. Toronto's not playing well, so we'll see. Really big for them to get that win last night. The Yankees host Baltimore. Now, I think the Yankees win at least two. I do not like the pitching matchup today. Baltimore's pitcher coming in has done very well his last few games. I really like that. You know, Seattle's got the Dodgers at home. Houston's at L.A. for three. I do think, Tony, you're in a good situation. The Mets are at Miami. The Marlins have been playing, in my opinion, better than the Mets recently. And the Reds, they're at Milwaukee, but Milwaukee's clinched everything that they need. So they can rest.
That's what worries me the most, to be honest with you, because those are teams that Cincinnati should win, and I hope they're not pressing. You would think you got Terry Francona, a guy who's won two World Series. You would think that he would have the guys playing really loose in Cincinnati. But what's amazing to me is if they can make the playoffs, look out, because right now with Green and with some of their pitching coming back, I mean, the games they're winning are 2-1s. They're not the 10-9s in the Cracker Box up in Great American. I mean, they're getting it done with pitching.
And Arizona's at San Diego for their last three games, so you kind of have the best road for your Reds, in my opinion.
Hope it happens. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. We're going to be back again on Tuesday morning doing our show from 10 o'clock Central, and thanks again. We'll be back on the Coastal Sports Network, on the Digital Network, working on a couple of other huge platforms, too, that you can find this show. So we're going to be all over the place, and of course also on Fridays, and then we'll be adding a third show as we get a little later into the college football season. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend and go have a winner, okay?
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.